Welcome back, everyone, to our South Australian mini-series of Let's Play Through Golf Travel Show. Here we go. So here we are in the state of South Australia, in the city of Adelaide today, and we're visiting Royal Adelaide Golf Club. Real gem in Adelaide, and constantly ranked in top 10 in Australia, and generally ranked number one in South Australia as well. Beautiful golf course with a fantastic history on a great piece of land. Got some quite unique features about it that Andrew Gay, our guest today and general manager of Royal Adelaide Golf Club, will tell us a little bit more about. The course is currently being renovated by Tom Doak of Renaissance Design, just with small incremental improvements and just building on the quality that already exists at Royal Adelaide. Of course, on this show, it's not just going to be about golf. We want to talk to you a little bit about what you can do on an evening as well, or your days off from playing golf. As we know, Australia is famed for its food and wine culture, and the restaurant scene in Adelaide is a fantastic one. It's also well known for its festivals, and this time of year, actually, February, March, a lot going on in the city. There's the actual Adelaide Festival itself, and that works in conjunction with the Fringe Festival, which is very well attended. Real good, strong art and culture scene in Adelaide, which complements the food, drink, and in this case, the golf. So let's get over to our chat with Andrew Gay, general manager at the club, and he's going to tell us a little bit more, and we'll catch you at the end. But this week, we're going straight to the top, and Royal Adelaide, number one course in Adelaide. And about 9 kilometres from the city, and probably less than a kilometre from the sea. So not what we'd call true Lynx land, but certainly some of those characteristics. But beautiful, beautiful golf course. And I'm very lucky to be joined here by the general manager, Andrew Gay. How are you doing, Andrew?
Very well, Len. Thank you for having me on.
No, pleasure, pleasure. Pleasure's all ours. So, just give us a little... a bit of the history of Royal Adelaide, Andrew, and how the course started, how long it's been there, that type of thing.
Sure. Royal Adelaide was founded in 1892. There was a little Adelaide Golf Club in 1870, but it only lasted a couple of years, so that sort of faded out. But Adelaide Golf Club started in 1892. We initially started in the North Adelaide Parklands, moved to Glenelg in the late 1890s. And 9 holes there. And then in 1905, they found this piece of land here at Seton. And the course was built and opened in 1906. So we've been here for a number of years, and it's a fantastic bit of property they found.
Yeah. And who originally designed the course, Andrew?
It was designed by Rymal, was the main designer. He was a member and a keen golf enthusiast. Right. And the course had, you know, Dan Suter put in a plan earlier on, Rymal put a plan, various other people played around with it. I suppose it wasn't until 26 when McKenzie arrived that he then gave it a real tweak. And there's some fantastic sand dunes for the middle part of the golf course, which was never really utilised to its best. And McKenzie's plan was to build into those sand dunes a lot. So he really sort of maximised the potential of the property.
Yeah, there's quite
Since then we've had a few other golf course architects. Peter Thompson did quite a bit here, and in more recent times we're using Renaissance Golf Design and Tom Doak to tweak and fine tune the course, and you know, get some of the things that have happened over the years back in line.
Yep, and because there's quite a central sort of sand dune, isn't there, where a lot of holes sort of tend to gravitate towards or play away from, don't they? And they can feature some of the better holes on the course.
Well, the sand dune, the main sand dune runs through the middle of the golf course. Either side is quite flat. The whole area used to be swamplands with the sand dune running through the middle. So we have a mixture of really flat land and then this fantastic dune that runs through the middle. And certainly the best holes, 3, 7, 11, those sort of holes running through the dune are probably our prime holes.
Hmm. And how would you sort of describe the style of the course? I know, you know, most of the Aussie courses tend to be a bit more firm running and play in that way, a bit more of a ground game. Would you say Royal Adelaide's very much along those lines?
Very much so. And once again, you talked about links. We like to think of ourselves as a links style golf course. It's open expanse. We're affected by the wind and the weather. The greens are hard and fast generally, or at least firm and fast. It is a running game. You can either chip on the greens, bump and run, putt onto them from around the edges. So it's certainly a different style of golf, and more that English-Scottish type of golf layout, or lick style golf.
Yeah, and the greens tend to be pretty speedy, don't they?
They are quite slick, yes, which catches a few people out, and particularly we have pretty hot summers here, so you know, in the middle of summer they can get pretty baked hard and very firm.
Yeah. And what would you say is unique about the course, Andrew? Well, I know one thing, certainly, but you know, why would people want to come there? What's a little bit different about the place?
Oh, there's a number of different quirky, depends how you want to put it, but I'm sitting in my office now, and about 20 metres from my office window is a train line runs right through the middle of the golf course. The train line was, the Adelaide to Grange train line, was built in the 1880s. So when they found this property, it was by someone coming through on the train and actually spotted this piece of land and then purchased it. The clubhouse is also built right in the middle of the golf course, right next to the train line. And for many years, up until about 1950s, we had our own train station. In the late 1950s, that burnt down and was never replaced. But members would come down on train, hop off at the clubhouse, play their own holes, have a couple of nice glasses of Australian wine, hop back on the train and go back to the city. So it's perfect in that regard. And it still catches people out when a train whistles past, not at high speed, thankfully, whistles past the clubhouse and through the middle of the golf course while you're in the middle of your backswing on the third tee. I suppose we're also a bit different than the clubhouse is located in the middle of the golf course. We have a road that runs across the 18th fairway up into the clubhouse. So you run through the practice paddock, across the 18th, and that also is a little bit different. But it gives you a great sense of arrival, I think, at the club. You're not just driving straight into the car park and there you are. You get this fantastic vista of people practicing, playing golf. You get the view of the 18th, hole, clubhouse in the background. The clubhouse itself hasn't really changed a lot since the original one in 1906. It's evolved and got bigger, but it's kept the same style. So there are a couple of things that are a little bit different and quirky about the place. But I suppose the golf course does it talking, but that's just a nice different way when you arrive. Yeah, it's a different expectation.
Yeah, yeah, that train line certainly is unique. I guess we see there's quite a lot of that in the UK, actually, but they tend to go past the golf course, not through it. So that's certainly an interesting...
Well, yeah, you cross over the golf course 2 to 3 times here across the train line.
That's right.
Depending on which way you play. So, you know, people do get caught out not actually expecting to see a train. They just think it's a leftover train line from years gone by. But, yeah, we've got some fantastic photographs of the old steam train that used to run through here, and the people getting off on opening day, for example, everybody came down by train.
Yeah,
that was brilliant. It's served its purpose for many years.
Yeah. Talk to us about a couple of the best holes on the course, Andrew. I'd have to say from history, my favourite would be number 11, I reckon. But tell us a couple of your favourite holes.
I think number 11 is a cracking hole, and it's probably the hole that when I don't play that often. When I play the 11th, if I happen to par, I get an extra sense of satisfaction. It's that green settled right into the base of the crater. It's a natural amphitheatre hole, and it's about a 95-metre carry to the green. It's a lot of sandy waste and reeds, etc. So it's an interesting shot in. The other one is the par 4 third hole. Yeah. That's one. It's 265 metres, no bunkers. It's a blind tee shot. It's drivable on a good day, or drivable for a good golfer, but you can also run into a lot of problems with it. So it's generally voted one of the best short par fours in Australia and potentially the world. Just the way the green set up, there's a mound runs down the left-hand, diagonally down the left-hand side of the green. The pin's in the wrong spot and you're down the left part of the fairway, you've got a very difficult chip in. So it's all about position.
Yep.
14th holes are probably one of the toughest holes in the course. Long, particularly off the back tees, it's a long drive to get anywhere to reach the green. It's a green perched on a little ridge with a lot of sandy waste around it. So a tough second shot in.
Quite small green.
If you hit the ball in the wrong spot, you get blocked by trees. So it can be a very difficult hole.
Yeah.
The 7th hole, I suppose, another great one. It's ringed by bunkers. And yeah, it's ringed by bunkers, and then you've got sandy waste to carry to get to the bunkers. So it can be a little bit daunting off the tee when you look at it. It's not quite as bad when you get up there, but it's actually quite a large green, but it doesn't look like that from the tee. So
they're
just a couple of our, you know, more regularly, I suppose, photographed and talked about holes. But there's a lot of other great holes out there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the course has got some pedigree. We know that. Hosted Aussie Opens and Women's Aussie Opens. When was the last one of those there, Andrew?
We had the men's Australian Men's Open in 98. Greg Chalmers won that. Chalmers, we had the Women's Open in, we've had three of them here. We had 94 Women's Open. It was Annika Sorensen's first win as a professional. Yep. 2017, we had the Australian Women's Open. Hana Yang won that. And then 2020, Embiid Park won that. And that was the last, probably the last major event before COVID hit, because the next two tournaments after were shut down. And we're incredibly lucky. We had nearly 40,000 people come through the gate.
Wow.
And it just seems so long ago now to try and reflect back on that. But it was a fantastic event. And yeah, they're running events now, but basically with no crowds. Yeah. So we were lucky to get that one in, because it's got a great – the Women's Open now has a fantastic international field. Yeah. It's a quality event. So.
And that, right in saying, that rotates around courses in Adelaide, and I know a couple of the other courses we might talk about in this series, Cooyonga and Grange, have hosted that as well, haven't they?
Yeah, the Australian Women's Open was booked into Adelaide for 6 years, rotated between ourselves, Grange, which is right next door, and Cooyonga, which is probably about 9 kilometres from here, and was on its second rotation. It was supposed to be played at Cooyonga this year, but unfortunately COVID's put a temporary pause on that, so hopefully we'll be back in Adelaide next year, because Adelaide's a great place for that type of event, and the girls love playing here. I mean, Adelaide's a fantastic place, and they love coming here, and they feel safe here, and they enjoy the beaches and everything else. So yeah, hopefully we'll get it back in. Hopefully we'll go for another 3 years after that, because hosting events is great fun. It's good for the golf course. It's great for staff. It's obviously helps your profile, and just a fantastic thing to be involved in.
Yeah. I know Royal Adelaide offers some fantastic hospitality and facilities, and it's clubhouse as well that you talked about before. Yeah, beautiful, understated sort of clubhouse, isn't it? But everything there you could possibly want. Tell us a little bit more about the hospitality on offer there, Andrew.
Well, the clubhouse is, we're talking about the clubhouse being right in the middle of the golf course, but it really, sitting in the clubhouse, we have windows all around the place, so you probably get a 270-degree view of the golf course. You actually feel as though you're sitting in the golf course. The practice putting green is right outside the veranda. Yep. The third tee is, looking at it now, 20 metres from the clubhouse windows. The first tee's there, and it's really good to, you're part of the golf. So whether you're sitting inside or sitting out in the veranda, which is a beautiful spot to sit after a hard day out on the links, we have great food. We've got a fantastic wine cellar. As you know, South Australia's got I think the best wine regions in the world, but some may have picked a different, but they're pretty good wine regions. And we've got a really well-stocked cellar. So there's nothing better than a game of golf, sitting on the veranda with a nice bit of locally produced food, enjoying a nice South Australian red. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's worse things to do in life, that's for sure.
Doesn't get any better, does it? Doesn't get any better.
And, no, particularly we've got a 28-degree day out there at the moment. The sun's shining. There's people out there. And, they're having a very enjoyable time.
Yeah. Stop it, Andrew. You're making me very envious. what about, we know Adelaide's such a fantastic place, as you're saying there, but well known for its food and drink scene and its culture. And where do you like to get out, Andrew, yourself, if you're going out for a day, perhaps maybe catch a bit of sun and maybe eat out and a glass of wine somewhere, where would you stop?
Well, we're a little bit spoiled for options here. I live only just a little bit south of the city, so I can be in McLaren Vale in 45 minutes. I can be in the Adelaide Hills wine region in 30 minutes, or the Barossa Valley in an hour and 10 minutes. So when you get there, then there's so many choices to go and see. And even recommending wineries, when people come here and visit, they like a few recommendations. There's so many great wineries out there, and there's new wineries appearing all the time. It's hard to say, there's no bad ones. So it's really hard to give recommendations, but either place is great. There's great eateries in there. In the city itself, you can either stay at Glenelg, and there's some fantastic restaurants down Jetty Road there and a great beach, or in the city, which is 9-10 kilometres from here, down Rundle Street, Gouda Street, all of those areas. It's just unbelievable number of restaurants. I was down at Gouda Street the other night, and there's just so many new eateries there. It's just fantastic. This time of the year, the Adelaide Festival's on, the Adelaide Fringe is on. Luckily we are pretty good from COVID wise, so the place was just going crazy. It was fantastic and had a really good vibe to it. Real fun. A lot of people out just enjoying life, which we're lucky enough to do. But yeah, so many good places to eat.
Yeah, brilliant. You've sold it well. And if anyone's looking to come over on a golf trip and want to include Royal Adelaide in their agenda, how can they do that, Andrew?
They can simply contact the club. We're happy to take visitors. We have, at this point in time, we're busy, so we only have limited tea times. But certainly we try and cater for people wherever possible. So via the website is probably the best way to contact the club. Let us know when you're coming here, what you're after. We work with there's three other clubs in Adelaide that are really, you know, top tier, not the same ranking as us, but good golf courses, Kionga Grange and Glenelg. So between the four of us, it's a great golf holiday in Adelaide, let alone you can get out to the Fleury Peninsula and those places, and good courses there as well. But you can spend 4 days in Adelaide, travel no more than 10 or 12 kilometres between one course and the other, and, you know, have a great time. So, you know, we try and work together to help people out on a holiday, because, you know, Adelaide's not the number one destination when you come to Australia. A lot of people are thinking of Melbourne rather than Adelaide, but Adelaide's a lot easier to get around. It's a lot shorter travel distance. It's a lot better than Melbourne, that's for sure.
Yeah, probably a bit easier on the wallet too, eh?
Yes, yeah, I would definitely say so.
Brilliant, Andrew. It's been fascinating hearing a bit more. And of course, I know the place, but it's great to be able to tell our listeners a little bit more about Royal Adelaide and what's special and unique about it. And hopefully it tempts a few people to get on down that way. But really appreciate you coming on the show today and telling us a bit more.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Adelaide's a great place. It's a smaller city. It's easy to get around. The golf course is, top, you know, we're number 9 in Australia and in the top 100 in the world. So, yep. You know, why wouldn't you come to Adelaide and check us out and try our wine and food? I mean, you won't be disappointed, that's for sure.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We're going to carry on with our South Australian mini-series with future episodes, where we'll visit some more clubs and general areas around the state and around Adelaide itself. We appreciate you joining us. Hopefully you're getting that little bit of a feeling that you want to go and book a holiday down to Australia and play some great golf down there. If you do, then please tune in to more of our episodes. Thanks, everyone. Speak to you soon.